Hello and welcome to the latest Xbox Mojo podcast, basically. Welcome, Token.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be here.
And today, we're talking about the Xbox Developer Direct 24, which aired 2 hours ago or something like that. And how we're feeling about it.
I thought it was really good. They set expectation beforehand about what we would see, regardless of what everybody else wanted to like add to the thing. Oh, they're going to add this, they're going to add that. I think they did a solid job of giving us a lot of what they said they were going to give us. And then we got a little extra in there. And, you know, extra is always nice, whether you're particularly interested in it or not.
Yes, and no shadow drop.
And no shadow drop, which...
Yeah, it's good.
They said after Hi-Fi Rush, that shouldn't be the expectation for what's normal.
Yeah, I'm just happy that there weren't any shadow drops because of setting... Because so they can set the right expectations going forward for the next and the next and the next shows.
Exactly. People that follow the gaming industry already set high expectations in their head and then expect for the companies to magically figure those out. So the companies themselves making higher expectations than what's necessary just doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
But I think they did a great job of hitting expectations. But I think they set an expectation and they hit it, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
It wasn't underwhelming or anything like that.
And but that's the reason I'm not hyped or anything. So it was fine, it was good. Everything was there. But it's not the show. It's not like a Nintendo Direct where you don't know anything about it beforehand. It could be good or bad. You just don't know beforehand. So the Developer Direct is a good format, a good show to get a sneak peek behind the curtain, basically, to
and
see
open
some
up
faces.
The year. For Xbox.
Yeah. So it's not meant to be the mini E3 show or something like that in January.
I would say it's equivalent to like the Nintendo Directs or like the State of Plays that aren't first, like the State of Plays that aren't the big one, because they just name all their things State of Play, so it depends on which one it is.
No, State of Play are the minor ones, I guess. The other one is the showcase.
The major one is the PlayStation Showcase. So,
State of Play is basically the copy of Nintendo Direct. And I'm happy that Microsoft didn't copy
one for one.
So Microsoft is trying to do it their own thing, and it's a good thing, I would say.
Yeah, I think this is I think doing directs is the smart way to go forward, especially with like the death of E3. You know, the summer showcases is fine, but that it's no longer this big super event that was this one weekend of the summer that E3 was. It's now kind of everybody doing their own thing over the summer, which I don't have a problem with. It's just that we need those beats. We need those beats outside of the summer. I personally would say we need quarterly updates from all the platform holders. We need what's coming in quarter one show. We need a what's coming in quarter two show. We need our big summer blockbuster. We need what's coming in the fall and a sneak peek at something for next year type show. I think we need quarterly directs from everybody. That would be good.
Yeah, it was would be yeah. Microsoft could deliver it, because they have so many studios now, and you can't do a 3-hour summer showcase to it. So the Developer Direct is a good start into this year, basically. Everything was there. They mentioned beforehand that they will show Avowed, Hellblade 2, Ara,
and Indiana Jones, which we got the subtitle for it now.
Yeah, we do. They started the show with
which I was surprised about because I figured about if I was going to tell you what I thought the order was going to be before the show started, yeah. I would have figured Ara, then Hellblade 2, then Indiana Jones. Oh no, then Avowed, and then Indiana Jones. Those are the two that we've seen the least of out of the three in terms of gameplay and just overall them being talked about, because Ara's been talked about a couple times at this point.
Yeah, and it's sadly only PC, at least for this year.
For now.
Yeah, it's a pity because it shouldn't be that complicated to do a console port of it.
I feel like it's less of it being complicated and more of that, like, you know, with Microsoft trying to, they're seeing difficulties with growing the console market, so they have to look at PC and mobile to be where they want to grow and spread. And just like console players, PC players want to feel special too. So when you take franchises that are typically PC focused, and if it wasn't for Xbox having this mandate's not the word I want to use, but having this mandate of having games on console and PC, we probably wouldn't see them on console at all. Perfect example, like Flight Sim. If Microsoft wasn't like, oh, we need to have these on console and PC, Flight Sim was a PC only franchise. Age of Empires is a PC only franchise. Ara is a type of game that would be more directed towards PC players than console players. I'm not a fan of the 4X genre, so I can't say off the top of my head, but I can't think of a 4X strategy game that's on console right off the top of my head. Not saying that there aren't any, I just can't think of any. So I think
Civilization.
I can see the disappointment in like not getting the games day and date, because most of the games that come to console are day and date on PC. But I also understand like giving them the games that are focused more towards them first. Yeah. It's just how it is.
Yeah. So now we talked so much about Ara, so we can just go ahead with Ara, basically. What do you think about Ara?
Well, like I said, I'm not a 4X strategy guy. Like, I've seen the games, but I haven't really played them. I know I was watching the show with a couple people in the Xbox party chat, and we were just all kind of on the same wave of, this looks really interesting, but at the same time, I'm not quite sure what it is. Like, I'm not, like, I guess the people that play those type of games can look at it and be like, oh, okay, this is, but, you know, I know what Civilization is. I've never played it, but I know what it is. I know what Age of Empires is. Like, I know, like, what City Skylines, those type of games are. And those are different types of games, but they have that same kind of layout. And Ara looks like it's a mixture of those different types of games. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure what it is, honestly.
Yeah.
But it looked interesting, and I guess I want to see more from people that are into those style of games give their opinion on it, because I don't really have one.
Yeah, I would agree. It looked nice. It has. It's like, it seems like Microsoft's spin for of Civilization, but not a complete clone. I personally wait for the console port. So,
I think. I say if we're looking at the track record of what we already seen with these games that come to PC first, it'll be on console next year.
Yeah,
and when it comes to console and Game Pass next year, I'll have the ability to try it out.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Sorry, folks. So we are not the era experts. Let's talk about then.
All right. So, you want to go first or you want me to start?
I think it was better showcased than in the summer. So the that what we... Yeah, the small gameplay segments we saw were improved, I would say, graphically improved. And we saw the usual Obsidian stuff. So some dialogue choices. We saw how dialogues are presented. We saw that they have different loadouts for combat. Mm-hmm. And I thought it's interesting, these loadouts that you can change between sword and a rifle or so. That was neat, I think.
Like you said, I think this was a much better showing than the original summer showcase trailer in terms of giving people an understanding of A, how graphically appealing it is, because the game still looks really good. It looks head and shoulders above The Outer Worlds, which was their previous bigger game, heads and shoulders above. I think it looks fantastic. I know some people had some pushback about the art style, but I know I've always expected the art style to be like this ever since Jez Corden gave he did like an article or interview, the insight into what he saw of Avowed when he talked about it looked like, you know, the Outer Worlds, but in the Pillars of Eternity universe. Yeah. I started playing Pillars of Eternity in 2021. And just finally finished it in 2023 because I'm never a PC gamer, so didn't really play CRPGs. So getting into that style of game, and then just all the games that have come out in the last 2 years, like it's been a lot to play. So not necessarily that the games aren't good, but if I'm having a hard time getting into it and playing real time with pause for the first time was me having a difficult time getting into it. It took me a while to get through it, but man, am I so glad I went back to it and played it, because I loved it. And it was one of my favorite games that I played of last year, even though it wasn't a 2023 game. With that being said, what I saw from Avowed looked like it was going to be first person Pillars of Eternity. And that's exactly what I wanted from this game. And that's all I care about.
So you recognize Pillars in it.
Yes. In the, like, for example, the loadouts are a thing in Pillars where, like, you can have your, basically, if it's a one-handed weapon, if it's a, because in Pillars you have two spots for weapons. You can have a sword or shield, you can have two pistols, you can have a pistol and a sword, whatever you want. But if there's one-handed weapons and there's two-handed weapons, and that's the only real limitation they have to what your build can be in terms of the weapons that you hold at one time. And then it seems like it's going to be the same thing in Avowed. You had, depending on how you set up your character, you had 2 to 4 different loadouts that you could have. So, and you could swap through the loadouts in the middle of combat. So, you know, you could have your character doing bow and arrow and then be like, nah, I want to go up and do melee and whatever. So that looked cool. I'm excited about that. The location, the visuals, everything kind of screams that Eora, that Pillars of Eternity world to me. So I'm looking forward to that. And before that, I got to finish Deadfire because I started it, but then I needed a break. But yeah. It won't take me 2 years to beat Deadfire because I'm trying to get through that before Avowed comes out.
Yeah, and Avowed is a fall 2024 game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like Ara. Ara is for PC is also fall 2024 game. So yeah, Avowed was good, and I am happy that they clarified that it's planned for this year, because mm-hmm. there were some rumors that it could be delayed until next year or so. And it can still happen, but I'm good with we are planning it for this year statement.
Same.
Yeah. And it looked good. I was I know you are playing Starfield right now. I hoped from the little RPG mechanics we saw, the dialogue trees, the choices that matter. Great. It could be what I expected from Starfield about choices and dialogues and such.
I have faith that the from me playing previous Obsidian games, I have faith that the way that they build their stories and how choice affects what goes on, especially, again, games in this particular universe, the Pillars of Eternity games, choice does play a lot. The ending changes depending on, you know, in Pillars, the ending changed depending on who you talk to, who you did certain things with, which gods did you back or didn't back, whose ire and envy that you brought on to yourself. So it was even with me playing the game over the course of a 2 year period, it was very noticeable to see, like, obviously not necessarily at the time, but as you progress through the story, okay, this is where my choice takes precedence, and this is where this choice takes precedence, and this is where this choice takes precedence in. So I have faith that they'll build a system to where you'll feel satisfied with the cause and effects of your choices.
Yeah, yeah. How many hours did you put in?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Actually, I got my phone right here. Let me look. It maybe
because 2 years.
Yeah, I feel like some of this time, because I know I looked at it before and I was like, this is a lot. I feel like some of this time might have been like time added to it from it being in quick resume.
Okay.
But if we're going by the time that my profile says, as soon as I find it. Here we go. I spent 151 hours in the game.
Okay, good.
It's a 40-hour game.
you can beat it in 20.
Don't ask me. I know I spent that time in the game. You know what I did a lot of? I did a lot of at one point in time, one of the lengths of time that I put into the game, I know that I did a lot of backtracking because I it was me coming back to the game after not playing it for a while. Yeah. And I think a couple times I went around and went everywhere, like twice, and touched everything just to like get myself back into being able to play the game. So a lot of that time is backtracking and just trying to touch and feel and play through everything. Try to talk to everybody, try to buy everything, try to do everything. That's where a lot of that time came from.
Yeah. It's difficult to go back into games after a long break. And in a RPG, not JRPG, mm-hmm. but RPG.
And I had a particular tough time with one of the dragons.
Yeah.
That's probably some of that time too. I had a particularly tough time with one of the dragons that you fight in Pillars of Eternity. So
yeah, I had a problem Was it a dragon or an it was before the final boss in Pillars 2. I don't know if it's a dragon or another beast. don't remember. But I do remember that I was fine with my party. And going to this boss, so the boss before the boss, he kicked my ass basically. And
there are definitely some spikes in terms of difficulty in some of those fights, especially the optional fights. I didn't have too much of an issue, and I'm talking about Pillars 1, not 2, because I haven't played through 2 yet. I didn't have too much issue getting through the mainline story.
Right.
It was doing a lot of the side content and the DLC, doing the White March DLC. That took a lengthy amount of time. I know the Siege of Craigholt was something that took a long time, having to, you had to go to the thing and fight the you had to go to the thing and fight to get to this place. And then once you get into the place, you either had to talk these people into giving you their keys or passwords or something, or fight them to take it, and then solve a riddle and then have this hard boss fight. that took me probably as much time as like half of the main campaign to get through just that one side mission. So there were definitely some difficulty spikes. Maybe we'll see that in Avowed too.
I hope not, because my hope is that Pillars is a CRPG. It's a, it's a special kind of game. So isometric view and lots of reading. Even there is voice. But a lot of reading still. And it's maybe a bit boring for newer players, for modern players, I would say.
I guess I could see that. I was engrossed in the world and the story. And I know that everybody, you know, some people just want to run through and play the games, so... Maybe. I guess you're right. But I was it was a lot of reading, but I was so engrossed in the story that was going on in the world that was being built and just trying to figure, okay, how does this work? What's going on? What's going on with the souls? What's going on with these gods? What is this person doing? Like, what's this group doing? I was so interested in everything going on that it didn't matter to me that I spent most of the game reading.
And I'm just hope that... About as a first person game is more accessible.
Yeah, I get that. More accessible to other people.
It would be great for Obsidian too, because they made this big universe, and there would be great if more people could enjoy the Pillars universe, even if it's
absolutely.
Yeah. It's one. Actually, it's good. Before the direct, I would have said Avowed is my most anticipated game from Xbox this year. And now after I saw the direct, it's still one of my most anticipated games, because I thought. It looked good. But two other games, I would put two other games, on that list, too. Guess
you're putting them both above Avowed?
Above Avowed? I guess one of them.
Okay.
I could see it, because the one we were talking about later has an interesting twist, basically, conceptual twist. I'm very interested too. But Avowed is a I thought would be a nice Christmas game or something. So a big, I don't know how big it's gonna be. Could be like Outer Worlds, so 20, 25 hours or something.
Which could be you bigger. Know what I would not have a problem with that. If they do, if they give us a solid 20-25 hour base game, and like if they do exactly what they did with Outer Worlds, they give us a 20-25 hour base game, and then we get maybe two DLCs that add another 5 hours of gameplay to it. That's perfect for me, especially if we can get the type of replayability out of having all of your choices change the way the game is. Then I don't need it to be 50 hours if I can play it 3 times and it be completely different all 3 times I play it.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. So anything more about Avowed?
No, super excited to play it.
Yeah, sure.
Day 1 on Game Pass.
Yeah. Speaking of short games. or shorter games. Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga. No, Sacrifice. Oh, is it Saga Sacrifice?
It's Saga. Sacrifice was the first one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Hellblade 2. The bad news first. So if you see it on the internet, some say it's bad. They said it's an 8-hour experience. So basically like the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And a $50 game. Not 70. No physical release, just digital only. So that was the bad the messages. Bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in quotes. So
Hellblade 2 had me sold on it in 2019 when they showed the first trailer on it. And then since then, I've just been waiting for it to release. The first game was fantastic. I super enjoyed it, especially wearing headphones. I'm super looking forward to Hellblade 2. It could be a 4-hour game. I don't care. I'm going to enjoy playing it as long as it's good. Because they did talk in the video about it being a shorter experience. And then people were like, shorter than Hellblade? It's like, no, a shorter overall experience.
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like I said, the first game was 6 to 8 hours.
Yes.
If that, and it was phenomenal. So if they give me another phenomenal 8 hours of game, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
It looks way more visually impressive.
Yes.
The combat looks like it's going to be a little bit more visceral, a little bit more diverse than it was in the first game. Maybe we see where they go from there after they do Hellblade 2, or maybe Hellblade 2 gets DLC or something. I don't know, but I'm not. I don't see that as a negative.
No,
I think the only way you see it as a negative is if you expected for like. And again, we had this conversation. We talked about this before one of the previous episodes. If you expected the people, if you expect Ninja Theory to take Hellblade and then God of War-ify it and make it a much bigger game with 30 hours of gameplay, all this other stuff, like, that's when you're disappointed in the game. It's an 8-hour game. It's $50. I feel like the last game where people talked about the length and the price that I played personally, and I thought it was great. I thought it was better than the first game, is Miles Morales, Spider-Man Miles Morales. Right. I thought Spider-Man Miles Morales was a better game than Spider-Man 2018. I played the rest of Spider-Man 2018 and Miles Morales like in one weekend. So there was other than the difference in their abilities and the lack of gadgets. My only problem with Miles Morales was the lack of gadgets.
Okay.
Let's be real. That's my only problem with Miles Morales. I didn't think I didn't have an issue with the story being shorter, although it did feel like Miles Morales was shorter than the three DLCs from 2018 put together. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I enjoyed playing Miles Morales, other than the missing gadgets, more than playing 2018 because it was a more compact experience. And I didn't have to spend 20 hours running around here, there, left and right.
Right.
If we get the same thing with Hellblade, I'm great with that. And if that's what Ninja Theory wants to do, that's what Ninja Theory wants to do.
Yeah. I wish they would say this 1 year ago. If they said last summer, it's the same scope, a bit longer maybe than the first game, then everything would be fine or better. Because there were some people that were hoping for a God of War game or something like that. And then we said, well, it's still a small team working on it. And they had COVID and they had problems with a new studio for the mocap and all.
Exactly.
As I said a few episodes ago, I was happy if it's just more Hellblade. Same scope, nearly, as Hellblade, but a better experience, a bit more variety, a bit better looking. It's definitely way better looking. So I'm fine with it. I'm fine with, again, with 8 hours. I'm fine with, $50. It's a bit sad with that there's no physical release planned, because there are collectors.
Yeah. And I understand that for the people that it bothers, but it doesn't bother me because I buy all my games digital. And I will preface me saying too that the price tag doesn't bother me because I subscribe to Game Pass, so I do understand. Like if you're looking at the game and saying, well, 8 hours and $50, which I don't, it's weird to compare the value for time for video games, because like, you know, I could spend 50 hours in a game and it be a okay 50 hours. But I can spend 8 to 10 hours in a game and have an incredible experience. And I think the experience is what the value comes from and not necessarily the length of the game. Yes. Now, you know, for depending on the game you're playing, like the length is important. You don't want to play something like Assassin's Creed Valhalla. You don't want to play a game that's supposed to be this big open world thing and it's 10 hours long. Like you're going to be like, wait, this, what? And in the same metric, with the themes and at least the way that the first Hellblade was, especially if they're continuing to push forward the narrative the way that it was, Senua's interpersonal struggle with her, you know, the voices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how necessarily you expand that out into this big, colossal 30-hour, 40-plus-hour game. So we'll just have to see. We'll see May 21st if they really give us the quality that we're looking for, the one-upness from the first game. It looks like they're going to really one-up the first game. And I think that's what's important for all these studios, is that the most important factor for the games that are coming out is that these games are standing above their previous titles when they were independent studios, right? Hellblade 2 looks like it's heads and shoulders above the first Hellblade. Avowed makes The Outer Worlds looks meh. Even though the Outer Worlds wasn't like this visual showcase, but it was an attractive looking game for the size and scope of it. But the way that Avowed look, it definitely like outshines the Outer Worlds. The same thing when we talk about the next game with Machine Games. Indiana Jones looks heads and shoulders above what they did with Wolfenstein, the New Colossus. And Wolfenstein, the New Colossus is great. So I think Xbox, I think the direct, and sorry to go off, but like, I think the direct here shows me that Xbox is, and they've already been showing it, but Xbox is doing what they said they're doing, and they're taking the studios and letting them do their best work. They're not turning them into other studios. Right. They're not making Ninja Theory into Santa Monica. They're not turning Obsidian into their Insomniac. Like, they're not making these studios do different things. They're just, hey, we want to make sure that you make a better game than the game that you make next time. And then the next game that you make out of that should be even better and continuously improve. I think some people look at the games and they automatically think that, okay, now that Xbox owns them and they have money, that they're making The Last of Us 2 level of games. They're making God of War Ragnarok level of games. They're making, you know, these big AAA blockbuster games that people have, that people want to see. And it's like, well, A, these teams are nowhere near as big as those teams. And B, like, it took those teams years to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true, basically. Yeah. I guess Ninja Theory is doubled their team size for this, or tripled, I don't know. But it's still way fewer people than
I'm not sure if they stuck with that, because I remember they talked about doubling the number of people on the studio. But that was like in 2020 when they said double the number of people is 40 people.
So, but even if they have 100 now or 120, 150, it would be small compared to Naughty Dog or Santa Monica.
600 plus people,
right?
Five or 600 plus people at Santa Monica, like it. But to be fair, I will say that there are teams of that smaller size that have shown that they can at least be in that range, because Sucker Punch is only like 100 something people,
yes.
Ghost of Tsushima looks. Visual, like Ghost of Tsushima doesn't look much different in terms of visual fidelity and being a AAA game than other titles. The same with Days Gone. Days Gone, the Bend Studios is like 130 people tops, 135 maybe. And Days Gone was impressive. It took them damn near 8 years to get it out, but it's impressive for the team size and what they accomplished. So it's possible. I just don't see it being something that, okay, you just went from being an independent studio. Now you're going to go and make these big, huge AAA games. Like, that's your next game. No, that's not what's going to happen. Yeah. That's not what's happening.
And could have been a big failure. So if you just, took it to 11 before you even tried the 8 or so. People are saying, oh, let's see a next gen game visually. You will get one. and it's an 8-hour experience, but it will blow your mind or your eyes, basically.
If we can go by Ninja Theory's last outing, which is Hellblade, it should blow your mind, your eyeballs, and your ears.
So you're really looking forward to it. Good release date. It's gonna be the first Xbox first party game for this year, and it's just May.
And if there was any gripe, I thought the show was great. I said that from the beginning. But if there was any gripe that I had anywhere about the dev direct, is that May 21st was the earliest date that we saw on that list.
Yes.
And it's January. So, I mean, I do got a backlog to get through, but damn, I don't need you to help me with that much, Xbox.
In hindsight, it's not the best messaging that you are saying. Well, we are trying to release one big AAA game per quarter, and you fail few weeks later. It would have been a better messaging if they had said something like, we want to release 4 to 6 games per year.
Just leave say the number in the year. Say we're going to spread them out quarterly and nothing like that. Yes. Because, like I said at the beginning about the dev direct itself, setting expectations is important, especially for Xbox, because no matter what they do, people take their own narratives and run like the wind with it anyway. Right. So they don't need to add to the fire by setting expectations and not meeting them, because people will go back and bring up some quote from some interview that Matt Booty did on some podcast in 2019 and be like, hey, look, he said this and we didn't get that. And we'll see that on the internet.
Yeah, because if you look at the whole picture, then you say, well, we were getting all games that were shown today this year. Mm-hmm. Plus Flight Sim, plus Towerborn, and maybe you will get one of the surprises.
Or two more.
Yes,
because we still are. Going to the part about like taking something that somebody said months/years ago and then bringing it back it was definitely said that there are games coming out in 2024 that you haven't even seen yet.
Right.
And everything that we know about that's coming in 2024, we've seen already. So there should be at least one game, at least one, a minimum of one. If you're going to make that statement, there should be at least one game, whether it's a big blockbuster game or a smaller game like Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment or whatever, there should be at least one more first party game coming out because you set that expectation.
Yeah.
Even though the 6 that we already have announced, that's a solid year for first party games.
Oh, yeah. It's,
I said 6, I put up 7 fingers.
Solid year. Good year for Xbox. And I would say, if the quality is right, then it's one of the better years for a platform holder as well.
Yes. If we're just comparing last year's Dev Direct to this year's Dev Direct, all they need to do to be successful this year in terms of like, hey, we showed all these games and this is how they landed, is not have a Redfall situation.
Right. Yeah. That's for sure.
Because even with, you know, you had your gripes about it, even with Motorsport landing kind of iffy for a lot of people.
Yep.
Xbox still would have got a solid year.
Yeah.
Perception wise, without Redfall being a disappointment to so many people. And I say that as somebody that played through the game and enjoyed it.
Yeah, I put 30 hours into it. So
yeah, I got
before
40-ish.
Before the 60 FPS patch. So same. I played it on release. Yeah. So it was fine. It was okay. So, but I like looting and shooting, and so, that could be a me thing.
I'm not a big person on looters, so that part of it, the looting part of it, I was just like, whatever, because I'm not a big looter guy.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it's because I had just recently played through, like, Dishonored 2 and Death of the Outsider, and gave Deathloop a real good go, and I need to go back and finish Deathloop, actually, that I felt those elements, like, not as good. Like, The elements in Redfall weren't as good as the elements in those other games, but I still felt those elements in the game. Yeah. Yes, the AI was dumb as hell. Not so much when you started fighting like the bellwether guys. The private contractor guys, they were smarter. They once I got into sections where it was mostly them, I started getting rocked, and I had to be, you know, I was running through before and just shooting everybody. Once I got to sections where the bellwether guys were there, I started getting rocked a little bit. I was like, oh, let me go back and, like, you know, retool how I'm doing this. I realized I had to be a little bit more sneaky, because if I got caught up between some bellwether guys and some vampires, I was toast.
Yeah.
But it definitely had its issues, and I saw the flaws in it, but I overall didn't think the game was as bad as people made it seem to be. But the perception that the game has gotten kind of, I wouldn't say ruined the year for Xbox, but it was one of the black eyes on what could have been a great year, starting off with the Dev Direct, because I think the Dev Direct last year and the one this year did a good job of showing these games off and making people excited for them.
Yeah, definitely. Last year it was just first party studios that were shown. This year we had one surprise appearance. And it was Square Enix shown off Visions of Mana, basically. Didn't expect it.
Very unexpected. I'm not going to lie. When I was watching it, and like Square Enix like popped up onto the screen, I was like, no. I was like, no, they're not. No, they're not going to announce an acquisition No, they're not. And then it was like, okay, they're just showing Visions of Mana. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was this guy. This. You don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy, who looked like a Yakuza boss from Yakuza games, was shown. It was okay. It was free marketing for Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't mention Game Pass release.
Nope.
So, they're at one moment, they were showing all the Mana titles from the past. So, and then I was okay. Now they will announce that every Mana game will release on Xbox, and not it. So they just showed there. Well, we had this 30 years serious look. You could play it on Super Nintendo, on PlayStation, on Switch, on everywhere.
Visions here.
Yeah, and now you're getting Visions, and not the rest we have shown you. And then I was okay.
I actually didn't know that there were so many Mana games. I'm not a big JRPG guy. I didn't grow up playing a lot of like older RPGs. I actually did not like RPGs when I was younger. I was very much I was a Sega kid. I know Sega had RPGs, but I tended to play more of like the action games and the platformers and stuff like that when I was younger, and then kind of moved into shooters when I was in my teenage years. I tried RPGs. I tried Final Fantasy multiple times. Never finished any of them. I think I told the story about me playing Final Fantasy X before. It wasn't until the first like RPG that I got into and beat was Mass Effect. So that was, I've been playing games since I was young in the 90s, and the first RPG that I fully played through and beat was in 2008. So.
Yeah,
but I knew Secrets. I know, you know, everybody. I knew Secrets of Mana existed. I know a lot of people like that. I think the Trials of Mana was one of them. And then this new one, Visions, and those are the only three I knew. So when they showed like what, 7 or 8 of them, I was like, oh,
yeah. So yeah, but that it would have been perfect time for saying yeah, and they are all coming to Game Pass or something like that. And yeah, and so it was showing Xbox fans games they couldn't play. was a bit of a
maybe they'll do like they did with the Final Fantasy and just drop all those. They weren't even remasters, they were just ports, right? They just dropped a whole bunch of ports of like old PlayStation 1 games. Do that again.
Yeah, I hopefully. So it was a bit like trolling. speaking of Visions, it looked fine. So they showed some monsters, they showed that you can ride on one of them. Summer release. Summer is packed, I guess, with some JRPGs. So we will see how successful that's gonna be.
Yeah, I have a tumultuous relationship with Square Enix in terms of me caring about their games after certain games that will not be named not making it to Xbox. Yes. And with me not really having a history with the Mana franchise, I wasn't disinterested, but I also was kind of just, I guess I'll see. I wasn't excited for it because I never played the Mana games before. I'm kind of looking at Square Enix like, oh, you bringing this to Xbox, but other not to be named games ain't coming. Where they at? We'll see. Maybe in the summertime, I'll check it out. If it comes on Game Pass, you know, that'll be it. I already, like I said last episode, picked my weeb game for the year. Metaphor Refantasia.
Yes. Yeah. but it's also fall, right?
I think Metaphor is summer as well.
I don't know. Okay, maybe. But that was Mana, and I guess Square Enix was. I said Microsoft wanted Square Enix to be there just to show, hey, well, we have support now.
Somewhat.
So our relationship is getting better, I guess.
We're getting there. We're getting there, guys.
So I guess that was the whole reason. And Square Enix said, okay, free marketing, we will be there. So I guess that was it. I want to do a quick little
as we're talking about Visions of Mana, I may not buy it because I'm not that interested. For all the people that complain about JRPGs not being on Xbox and Square Enix not bringing games on Xbox, y'all better buy this game. Yeah. Don't complain about them not bringing the games and then they bring the games and you don't buy them games.
Yeah.
It's not on me because I'm not the one complaining about it. But if you complain that all these JRPG games and Square is skipping Xbox, y'all better buy this game. They better not come out and be like, yeah, like 20 copies of Visions of Mana was sold on Xbox.
Yeah, right. Complaining about it and then saying, yeah, well, I try it if it costs $20. That's not the message we want to send to Square Enix as Xbox community. The last game that we're shown, and you were speaking about not changing the studio culture, so not let the studios do what they do best. And well, they have one studio that is best in killing Nazis in first person. And that's exactly what they do next, but not Wolfenstein 3, but Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
So I since Bethesda announced that Indiana Jones is being made, and it was being made by Machine Games, I immediately knew why it was being made by Machine Games. Machine Games' whole entire studio culture is based on punching Nazis in the face.
Yes.
they have made three games, and all three... unless you don't... No, Old Blood is a whole game. It's a standalone game. So it was, they made three games specifically about killing Nazis. And then what do we get with Indiana Jones? It's first person. So what do we get with Indiana Jones? We get Indiana Jones in first person punching Nazis in the face. I was always open to the possibility of Machine Games kind of moving away from doing a first person shooter and doing something third person action. Like, you know, as a lot of people say, they would have preferred the Indiana Jones game to be. But at the same time, I wasn't like it was a possibility. But my expectation was that you gave this game to this studio for a reason, because they have a pedigree in making games about killing Nazis. And who better to give an Indiana Jones game?
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised by the gameplay trailer, because it looks really, really good.
Yeah, it. I watched the better version afterwards. During the stream, I was kind of meh about some cutscenes. Not about the gameplay, about cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
The facial impression, lip syncing and such. I was don't know. So, but. They released the trailer afterwards, and then you could see it in a better quality, and then I was more fine with it, more happy with it.
Something about like the facial animations kind of threw me off a bit, but it didn't look bad, but it was something in the facial animation that I can't quite pinpoint, but it was the only thing that I saw when watching that trailer where I was like, about how it looked. And I gotta rewatch the trailer another time to kind of look at it and see what was bothering me. But other than like a little bit of facial modeling animation stuff that I saw, that kind of everything else looked great. I thought the parts that they showed, the parts that they showed where we got to see gameplay, we got to see the environments. I thought the environments looked really good. I thought the parts that they showed, the cutscenes that the characters, like the body, the clothes, all that stuff looked really good. I like what I'm seeing from the whip gameplay. I like that they are, you know, putting some third person perspective in there in some ways through like some of the traversal and other things. And overall, I thought it was a great showing, especially for the first showing. That's the thing, too, I want to acknowledge that this is the first time we're seeing the game outside of that little teaser trailer that we got, what, back in 2020?
2021, I guess.
Okay, 2021. But so for a first showing of the game, and it seems to be good coming out this year, it looked great, and I'm ready to play it.
Yeah, I guess. So we saw... I guess the reason we saw Indiana Jones back then was just because they signed the contract with Disney. So, and I guess Disney or Marvel, which is the same, want to announce a game when they signed a contract. So that's mm-hmm. why we saw Spider-Man 2. 3 years ago, that's why we saw Wolverine also 2 or 3 years ago. And
2 years ago?
That's why we saw
Blade.
Saw
Blade this year.
Yeah.
Well, in 2023. Yeah. That's why we saw Blade in 2023. So, we also saw that with the Iron Man and Black, the Iron Man game, the Captain America and Black Panther game. All the games that Marvel's putting out, all the different Star Wars games.
Yeah.
They're all games that they've had them announce that they're being made very early.
Yes.
They didn't even have concept art to show for the Captain America and Black Panther game. Like, that's how you know that was a really early thing.
Yeah. 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 And so I was very happy with the first showing of Indie. I'm happy that they could manage to get Harrison Ford's
likeness. Yes. Likeness,
yes. I never expected this, basically. Because I thought it could be a reason for first person because they wouldn't get the likeness of Harrison Ford.
I wasn't expecting Harrison Ford at all. I don't know. Maybe it's just I mentioned expectations a couple times on this episode, but like it was just not in my. As soon as they said that they were going to do it, and they were like, "It's an original story, and it has nothing to do with any of the movies," that was me thinking that that was their tee up to say that it wouldn't be Harrison Ford, right?
Yeah.
When they put out that we're doing a brand new story, blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, it's going to be somebody else. Right. And but them actually getting the likeness of Harrison Ford, I was like, oh, cool. Like, they and pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
I'm really excited, basically, because and I'm so happy. I'm maybe one of the few guys that are happy that it's first person, because my biggest fear was being third person, third person game for that studio, and then we will get all the comparisons to Uncharted
and Tomb Raider and every other third person game that other studios have been working on third person games for decades.
Right.
Like,
so I could see the reviews that say, yeah, nice first try, but it's not like Uncharted 4. And so, it's a 70
exactly.
or 82. We were getting just a good FPS. And it seems that there are immersive sim elements, Metroidvania elements, something like that. Exciting for me.
And on the technical side of it, it's an id Tech game, which I think is interesting to see. I'm hoping, because I know, like, looking at kind of the last few years of the ZeniMax studios, not just Bethesda, I say ZeniMax because Bethesda is the one studio. ZeniMax is the group. Not just ZeniMax, but in general, we've seen this kind of we see this kind of like everybody's moving to Unreal. Yes. Everybody and their mom is moving to Unreal. Studios and publishers are abandoning their in-house engines and everybody's moving to Unreal. And we saw some of that with some of the ZeniMax studios. Some of the studios that built their games and built engines from id Tech moved to Unreal for their next games. It's good to see them continue to use id Tech, and I'm hoping that we see more of that kind of like the id Tech engine being spread out amongst those studios so we can see more of what it can do. Because I personally, as great as Unreal Engine is, it's a great tool for developers, it's a great general game engine. I don't think the game industry should, and I don't think all these studios should, abandon building out their own technology to all use Unreal. Yep. Because just like we talk about consolidation in the games market, and we talk about consolidation in media, consolidation of everybody moving to one singular, well, and not even everybody, the vast majority of developers moving to one singular engine, I think creates this thing where we're already seeing so many games that are very similar to each other. Now, what happens when everybody goes to an Unreal Engine? Is it perfect? It has its faults. It has its weaknesses. It has its pros and it has its cons. I don't want all of game development to be limited to the pros and cons of what Unreal Engine has.
Yeah.
So I want to see more studios other than id Software use id Tech. I want to see more studios. Like I was happy to see that they're with Fable, that they're using Forza Tech for Fable. Hey, that engine has been great for decades. If you could take that engine and get people to make games that aren't racing games on it and still be as visually amazing as those racing games are, let two or three other studios make games with Forza Tech. Let all, like, you know, let a bunch of different studios use id Tech to build their games. Like, let's not all focus on using Unreal Engine and being set within that, the parameters of what they build.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sony, using their own, engines too. So Naughty Dog has an own engine. Santa Monica has its own. Guerrilla Games, has a big one. It is big, technical magicians in the past. And so you have the experts of the engine in-house, basically. So, I like that too. Indiana Jones is coming also this fall.
Indiana Jones later. Didn't have a time frame. It just said 2024.
Yeah, so basically all games from Xbox coming later than 2024 besides Hellblade. a packed last quarter or so.
Xbox said there's 1,000 planets. You should still be playing Stars.
A packed year. It's going to be a packed year.
And that's not even getting into a lot of the third party stuff coming out, which we won't have we won't talk too much about because this is the Dev Direct episode.
Right. Focus. This is Dev Direct. So, your summary about the Dev Direct.
Three of the five games I was already super excited about. So Hellblade 2, Avowed, and Indiana Jones. The other two that I'm not excited about are only because I'm not familiar with the game type,
yep,
aura, or the franchise, Visions of Mana. And I also have beef with the publisher on the Visions of Mana side. But overall, like I said, they set the expectation and then they hit it square on. And I'm excited for all three of those games whenever they come out this year. And they look like they're going to be solid. I think we saw a decent amount of gameplay of all of them just from this Dev Direct alone, not even counting the stuff that we've seen before. Avowed had an impressive showing. Hellblade 2 had, like, you know, Hellblade 2 hasn't looked better than it's looked, but it hasn't had that, oh, this looks downgraded. People tried to do that for the second trailer when they had the giant and stuff in the trailer. Between the first initial one that they showed in 2019 for the game show, Game Awards, and the one that they showed that actually had gameplay in it, people tried to do the whole, oh, look, it kind of looks downgraded. No, it doesn't. That game... Yeah. They have shown that that game is going to look phenomenal. So that's going to be the even if it's only for 8 hours, that's going to be Xbox's visual showcase for the year.
Oh yes.
And then I'm excited about Indiana Jones. I will 100% say that I am one of those people that said, I don't think Xbox needs to deliver on licensed properties. Like, you know, everybody, people are like, oh, they need a superhero game. Oh, they need to get the Sony's getting all these like all these licensed IPs. Xbox needs to do it too. I'm not one of those people. I think it's smart of them to focus on building the IPs that they own, because we've seen over their history that not having access to their IPs is a problem for Microsoft. They have issues with being able to build BattleTech games. They own the rights to BattleTech and MechWarrior, MechAssault, and all those games. They have they're having issues with being able to make those games because of licensing issues.
Yes.
Shadowrun. These are all for the Shadowrun and MechAssault from the same company, from them buying Fasma, but they have the rights to those games, but they don't make those games. Other people make those games because it's iffy. So it's smart of them to be like, no, if we're going to make games from IP, we want to have control of those IP, because we see Quantum Break, Remedy, Alan Wake, Quantum Break. Those are IPs that they can't do anything. Like, they don't. So, yep. But that doesn't quell my excitement for Indiana Jones. That doesn't quell my excitement for Blade when we finally see what it's going to look like in the year 2028. But I'm
something
playing
like
them.
That.
Yeah, I'm I'm Game Passed up until next March, so
you'll be fine. So before the direct, I was mainly looking forward to Avowed. And now you can add indie to it, to the mix. Hellblade too, basically. Don't care about ARA until it's hitting Xbox. And Visions of Mana, I will see. I will play it for sure. On day one, I don't know. Leaving Indie, Hellblade, and Avowed. I like Obsidian games, so I like RPGs. I'm in Avowed, but Indie is my wild card now, basically, because I want to know how they manage the first person thing, and because I guess it's not just a shooter, because most of the trailer we saw him punching, shooting.
We saw him punching, using the whip. Honestly, from the trailer, it seemed to me that, if I'm gonna be honest, this is kind of just from watching the movies, this is more of what I would expect from an indie game in comparison to other games, is that it's more of an adventure game than an action game. So it's more of the puzzles and traversal and, you know, trying to figure out stuff going through the game than it is just about shooting your way through. Like, and I think if they can because we're talking about their pedigree, we're talking about Machine Games pedigree with Wolfenstein, right? Yes. And Wolfenstein is, well, you know, you can do it differently, but you can just run through and shoot everything in Wolfenstein, depending on the level of difficulty that you're playing, yes, and your level of proficiency. You can just straight run through everything and just blast your way through every level. But that's not necessarily indie. He has a pistol, but how many people do we see Indiana Jones shoot in 5 movies? Maybe like 6 people in total that he's actually shot.
He's so, not Nathan Drake.
So I think the game being more focused on the adventure aspect, there's going to be combat, you're going to run into people, but it being more focused on puzzles and traversal and getting around and not necessarily being a shoot 'em up fest. That's kind of what it seemed like the trailer was focusing on, and I'm all for that, for the what indie is, because indie's not a run through and shoot everybody type of thing.
Right. So in my mind, last February I played Metroid Prime Remastered, and which is not an FPS because there's not that much shooting, basically. And if you're shooting in Metroid, it's a lock-on feature, so you don't have to aim. So, but it's the it's getting the right items. It's the traversal. It's some puzzles, and so it's an I called Metroid Prime Remaster a first-person adventure. So, and that's what I am hoping for in the.
I would say that's what I'm hoping for too. I didn't play Metroid Prime Remastered, so I can't tell you if like I'm hoping for that specifically. But what you explained is what I'm expecting and hopeful for the indie game, because as much as I like just running through and blasting things, that's not really Indiana Jones.
Right. Yeah.
So I do think though that before that game comes out, I have it, and I might look at going back all the way to the original Xbox and playing Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb. I think it is
third person.
The other Indiana Jones Xbox exclusive, for all the people that were like, oh, like they wouldn't make Indiana Jones exclusive.
Oh, it came for yeah. PS2 also. But later, I guess. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Xbox first and then later PlayStation. Well,
timed exclusive.
Something like this. Yeah.
I remember it being on the Xbox, and that's kind of it. But I guess if it came to both, it came to both.
In my I felt it wasn't exclusive, but it wasn't. But in my mind, it was. So yeah.
Because I've never seen the game other than it being a Xbox game. I had a PlayStation 2. I don't remember ever seeing it for the PlayStation 2.
Me too.
But yeah, that's where I'm at.
So we're good. So thankfully we can the gap until Hellblade is not that big because of Game Pass. So there won't be first-party games until then, but a lot of third-party games like Persona 3 Reloaded in two or 2.5 weeks. We'll be fine. I guess that's it. Good show. Hopefully next year, another developer direct comes around.
Mm-hmm. No shadow things.
Yeah. So we are looking forward for a good Xbox year, I guess.
Yes, I'm looking forward to a good Xbox year. Well, yeah. I mean, to me, I've never not had a good year. I always find some way to get some gaming in that I enjoy. That's what's important. Whether it's a game that came out this year or a game that came out 2 years ago, whatever. Like my favorite, like I said, my favorite game to play in 2023 was a game from 2015. So my favorite games from 2022 were 2015. I played Dishonored 2 for the first time last year, and phenomenal. So yeah, my favorite game of in 2022, last year's 2024. Sorry, in 2022.
It's okay.
Yeah, it hasn't set in yet. It hasn't been a month yet.
Yeah, right. So that should be it.
I'll buy my time in the first 5 months, but hopefully I don't have to buy too much of my time. Maybe we'll see something excite us in these first few months.
Right. So we are pretty sure the mojo is coming back. So that should be it for this week, for this episode, I guess. Thank you, Token, for this time. And
you mean thank you for like not taking up too much time.
So until next time, you're Thomas.
And this is Token.